trumpet in Zion. Sound it on the mountains. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come. Blow a trumpet in Zion.
Hey everybody, this is Brother Frank, and welcome to another episode of the Remnant Call. I'm excited to be here tonight with you, and Brother Benjamin is going to be on the show. And look, folks, he was just on Coast to Coast back on the 11th here of March. If you didn't get a chance to check that out, go check that out. I know that program may be filled with some crazy things sometimes, but I'll tell you what, Brother Benjamin has been all the way back to the very first time Art Bell had him on. And I remember Art Bell said something to the fact is, you're the guy I've been looking for all these years. Someone who was speaking a word of truth instead of all this craziness in such an hour. Well, he just was on there again with George Norrie. So please go check that out. And we're going to get right into the program tonight. So with that, I'm going to bring on Benjamin to the program. Benjamin, are you there?
Yeah. Good afternoon. Good evening, Frank.
Hey, brother, thank you so much for coming on, and hopefully everybody will go check out your program on Coast to Coast. And, you know, brother, I know there's a lot of people in this hour, and you look at sometimes different shows and think, well, is that really a show of God? And brother, I believe that the Lord uses all kinds of platforms. And the fact that you keep getting invited back on, this show is just to me a testimony that the Lord desires your voice to be heard, even to a broader audience. And so I thank God for that, brother, and glad that you were able to do that again and share that.
Well, it's pretty awesome. I actually was pretty bold in confronting the audience with the revelation of Jesus Christ and you know, for explaining to them that if you are not born again, if you're not redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, if you have not received Jesus through faith, you face a very dismal future in eternity. And, you know, we're doing all we can to try to reach out and save your soul, but ultimately it's your decision whether or not you want to pray and ask God to reveal the truth of his son, Jesus Christ, in your life or not. But anyway, it was an awesome program. I think George Norrie started off by basically saying, Benjamin, your predictions on this program over the years have been rather uncanny, because it's just like been one thing after another where I would say, well, the next thing is this. And then sure enough, boom, it's exactly what happened within a matter of months. And the last time I was on was October 1st. And I said, well, the next event is war will explode in the Middle East. And of course, that was 6 days later. And so George was blown away. You know, it's getting quicker and quicker. Well, you know, at this point, what we're looking at is the meltdown, the takedown, and ultimately the end of Babylon America. But yeah, praise God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word of truth. I thank you that we're blessed to be able to hear your word, Lord, that we have your word in our hands, Lord, right before our eyes. We have your word of truth in our hearts. It's on our lips, Lord, and we rejoice that your word is truth and your word is righteous.
Amen.
Your word is holy. And so I pray that your Rhema word would come forth in this message, the word filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to touch hearts, to change lives, to bring all of us to deeper repentance, that we might walk upright before you in holiness and in truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, yeah, I didn't really have anything planned for this program. Actually recorded a show with a podcast host in Germany this morning, which you'll be able to find it, I'm sure, in the next day or two. If you just do a search on my name, it's a pretty big European audience, so it should blow up large. But it was somewhat exhausting because we recorded for over 3 hours and it went pretty deep into the history behind these things, deep into the history of the Middle Ages and, you know, how these satanic families operated and how they hid themselves through their deception. So, but you know, everything's about to come forth into the light. And so, hallelujah, the light is about to shine upon the earth. But I want to begin. I really feel like I want to share just some excerpts from the book of Enoch. And I'm going to start reading in chapter 1, and then I'm going to jump over to chapter 5 and you guys can, you know, get your book of Enoch out later and you'll be able to find these texts, but just listen along with me. The words of the blessing of Enoch, wherewith he blessed the elect and the righteous who will be living in the day of tribulation when all of the wicked and those that are godless are to be removed from the earth. Isn't that awesome? Enoch was praying for us. He blessed us. He stood in the gap before the holy temple of the Lord, and he prayed for the remnant of God in the final generation, the elect and the righteous of God who will be saved through Jesus Christ and who would be alive in the days of tribulation when all of the wicked and all of those that are godless would be removed from the earth. And Enoch, a righteous man whose eyes were opened by God, saw a vision of the Holy One in the heavens, which the angel showed unto me, not for my generation, but for a remote one, which is far to come. So Enoch's vision is actually for us. And this is what he saw. The Holy One will come forth from his dwelling place, from his eternal temple in the heavens. And the eternal God will tread upon the earth once again. On Mount Sinai, he will appear from within his camp. And he will appear in the strength of his might from the heavens of heavens. Consider what Enoch has just said. God is about to come down and walk upon the earth again. And the mountains will be set on fire. The rocks shall be like wax. They're going to flow. They're going to be turned into molten lava underneath his feet. And he is going to appear not as a burning bush, not as a blinding light. He will now appear in the power of his might. He's going to manifest himself as God Almighty for the first time from heaven. And all shall be smitten with fear. And the watchers shall also quake. Even the angelic watchers are going to be terrified as the Lord reveals the infinite power that is in him. Great fear and trembling will seize those that dwell upon the earth. And the high mountains will now be shaken, and the hills will be made low, and they will melt like wax before the flame of the Lord. The whole earth will be rendered asunder, and all that is upon the earth will perish. See, the remnant are going to be dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. They won't be dwelling upon the earth. Everyone that stays upon the earth, everyone that is among the flesh, everyone that's still living in the flesh will perish, for the end of all flesh is come. Now, that doesn't mean you lose your salvation and go to hell. If you're a compromised, backslidden Christian who has been born again by the Spirit of God, but you, for whatever reason, you didn't get out of that the life in the flesh, you never entered into the secret hiding place, you were just bound up in the bondages of the flesh, well, you're going to perish because the end of all flesh has come. And that includes your flesh and my flesh. But if we die to our own self, if we lose our life for Jesus' sake, the Lord said, that one will save it. But if you're trying to save your life in the flesh, you want to keep your comfortable easy chair so you can watch the great tribulation on your HD TV, it's coming to you and it's coming fast. And you'll be watching from the gallery in heaven. Only a remnant is going to be saved from what's about to take place on the earth. The apostate or the Laodicean or the compromise, whatever you want to call these people, you know, and we all walked among them. Okay, I'm not pointing a finger at you, brothers and sisters. I walked with you in the compromise. We've all done it. This is the age of apostasy, this great falling away. It affected all of us. But those who belong to the remnant are going to speak the truth. And they're also going to speak the truth in love, not in condemnation, not in harsh judgment, but in love and in mercy. And the truth is, we all must repent now because the Lord is about to come upon the earth, and everyone that is dwelling in the flesh will perish, and there shall be judgment upon all men. And the only ones who will survive or live through this judgment will be those who've already passed from judgment unto life, which means all of their sins have been dealt with at the cross. All of the strongholds, the generational curses, and all of the sins, all of them will have been taken to the cross, and they will have been completely cleansed, completely redeemed. And now they will walk with the Lord. But with the righteous, he will make peace, Enoch said. There shall be judgment upon the men of the flesh. There'll be judgment upon the earth. But with the righteous, the Lord will make peace. And he will protect his elect. It's exactly what he said. I will protect that which is mine. And mercies shall be upon them. And they shall all belong to God, Enoch said. And they shall prosper. And they will all be blessed. And he will help every one of them. And light shall appear unto them. And the Lord God Almighty will make peace with them. He's going to be at peace with his little flock. He loves these little lambs whose hearts belong to him. And he's going to protect them like they're his own little sheep, which they are. Behold, the mighty one comes with 10,000 of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all. Oh, isn't that interesting? The mighty one is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look who he's coming with, though. 10,000s of 1,000s. To be more precise, 12,000 times 12,000, right? 12,000 from each tribe. 12,000 times 12,000. And they will execute judgment upon all and destroy the ungodly and convict all men walking in the flesh of all of their works of ungodliness, which they've ungodly committed against the Lord, and of all the hard things which the unrighteous sinners have spoken against our God. This is from Enoch chapter 5. All of creation obeys the Lord, and his works go on from year to year forever. And all of the tasks which the Lord commanded his creation to perform, these are accomplished for him. And as God has ordained it, so it is done year into year into year. The creation obeys the Lord. What is the problem with mankind? For men have not been steadfast, nor have they done the commandments of the Lord. Rather, you have turned away and spoken words of pride, spoken words of rebellion, words of self-will, harsh words out of your impure mouth against the holiness of the Lord. Oh, you stiff-hearted, you shall find no peace. Therefore, the days that are coming shall be a curse unto you. And these final years of your lives, you will perish. These are the years of your destruction. And for the many, they shall be multiplied into years of eternal damnation. And you will find no mercy. And for all of you sinners who refuse to repent, who think you can cover your sin with your lies, there shall be no salvation for any of you. Rather, upon you shall abide the curse of God for all eternity. And in those days, your name shall become a curse unto the righteous. And by you shall all who curse, curse. But for the elect, there shall be light and joy and peace. And they shall inherit the earth. But you who are unholy, you shall be accursed. And then shall wisdom be bestowed upon the elect. And they shall all live and never sin again, either through ungodliness or through pride. And they who are wise shall all become humble, and they shall not transgress, nor shall they sin all the days of their life, nor shall they die under the divine anger or wrath of God, but rather they will complete the number of their days of their life, and their lives shall increase in peace and joy. And that's exactly what's coming during the tribulation period. A righteous remnant delivered, a righteous remnant covered in the peace of God, a righteous remnant protected by the power of Almighty God. And unto everyone else, judgment comes, and that right soon. I want to also just share a few words from Psalm 56. In God I trust is the caption. Be merciful unto me, O God, for men would swallow me up. Fighting daily, they oppress me. My enemies would daily swallow me up, for there be many that fight against me, O thou most high. When I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word, for in God I have put my trust. I will not fear what men could do unto me. Every day they twist my words. All of their thoughts against me are for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark and watch my steps. They wait for my soul. That's exactly what the enemy's doing right now. They're watching you. They've got all their surveillance technology on you. They're marking your steps. They're waiting for the opportunity. But shall they escape this iniquity? I tell you, no. In the very anger, God is going to cast them down. In his fierce anger, he will cast down the wicked. The Lord knows of your wandering. He's put all of your tears in a bottle. Are they not written in his book? The Lord knows how much the remnant have suffered. Look, the Laodicean church is a church full of itself. It's a church full of the pleasures of the flesh. It's a church full of false worship. It's a church full of riches and wealth and pleasures and all the things of Babylon. It's a church that is in need of nothing because they have everything in the flesh and they have nothing in the spirit. And the remnant couldn't stand 5 minutes in that group of people because those things of Babylon, they're anathema to us. They make me puke. We who've been through and have experienced the purging fire of God, we can't hide in the lies of Babylon. We can't comfort our soul in the pleasures of the flesh. Only the Spirit of God can quench the burning fire within our hearts. Only the presence of the Lord can calm us down. And only his company can cause us to literally let go of all fear because the Holy One is with us. The Lord is indeed our shepherd, and we will not be afraid. Though we're all going to walk through the valley of Megiddo soon, we're going to walk through the valley of decision, we're going to walk through the valley of Armageddon. And personally, I really hope I get to go to Armageddon because I really want to be there, because I think it's part of my assignment. But, most of you guys won't have to go to Megiddo, but I'm looking forward to going back. But not for the reasons of the flesh. For the purposes of the kingdom, our enemies are going to be turned back. For this I know, God is for me, and God is for you. And the Lord, he knows those in whom he has chosen them. He knows those whose hearts are his, and that's his little remnant. The people who rejoice to do his will. And no, we're not perfect. And yes, we're still being refined. And yes, we still are overcoming, some of the woundings of the flesh where the enemy was able to basically insert their deceptions. And God's still purging and cleansing all of us. But those of us that are in the remnant, we're crying out, Lord, your will be done. Your kingdom come, no matter the price, no matter the cost, Lord. Cleanse us, purge us, and sanctify us utterly, Lord. No matter what the level of pain and suffering is required, Lord, do it. Because we want to be made just like you, Lord. We want to be holy just like you, even as Jesus commanded, be ye holy as your heavenly Father is holy. Well, that holiness comes with a price. In the Lord's case, the price was the cross. The price was a whip upon his back that tore his muscles from his bones. The price was nails pounded into his hands and his feet. The price was a crown that cut to his skull. The price was the rejection and the mocking of a generation. The price was death on a cross. And the reward is he's exalted as the King of eternity. And he is the precious. He's our precious Lord. This little flock of remnant people, they love the Lord totally. There's nothing in Babylon that we desire. We'll be glad when it's gone. We can't wait to get on the road to Zion. And we can't wait to get to the wilderness of Zion, where we'll be gathered together in one accord. No more unbelief. No more darkness. No more deceptions. How blessed it is for the people of God to dwell in unity. And so it shall be in the wilderness of Zion. In God, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I will praise his holy word. In God, I've put my trust. I'll not be afraid of what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. And one thing about the remnant that I found Every one of them that I've met, every single one has taken vows to the Lord. And those were vows that were serious vows. They didn't just, well, Lord, you know, I'll come to church on Sunday. You know? No, it was more like, Lord, I will give you my whole life just to honor you, God. And for many in the remnant, we didn't even ask for anything in return. We just came with an offering simply to bless the Lord. That was all we were trying to do. We didn't expect anything from the Holy One. We just wanted to thank him for what he'd already done for us on the cross, for becoming our salvation, and for saving us from the wrath that is about to be revealed. And so, having been willing to lose our lives, really just to bless the Lord, now we will be saved by his mercy and grace, because our lives are actually hidden in him. You know, we've lost the life of the flesh, and as far as I'm concerned, good riddance. You know, it can stay lost as far as I'm concerned. You know, let it just stay in the ground. I really desire to go forward and walk the mountains of Zion in the spirit of the Mighty One, fulfill the promises in the scriptures and in the prophecies of the final generation. For he has delivered my soul from death. And that's literal in my case. I should already be dead. More than once, the enemy's tried to kill me so many times. Every time, the Lord delivers me from death. And now he's going to deliver our feet from falling, and that the remnant may walk before God in the light of the living. So I just want to share a couple more scriptures. You guys, if you're reading along in your Bible, you can turn to Isaiah 60. I just want to read verse 1 and a couple more verses in Isaiah 60. Arise and shine, for your light has come. Brothers, sisters, that is what this new year, this 70th Jubilee, that's what's coming. Hallelujah. The light is going to come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. The glory of God, when the Lord comes in visitation, and the year of visitation is the favorable year of the Lord. It is the Jubilee year of the Lord. And when he comes in visitation, it's also the day of vengeance, because he comes in his own camp with mercy and blessings, but he comes into the camp of the wicked with judgment. Eternal judgment is coming. And this word for the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee, the word for glory is kabod in Hebrew, and it means the weight, the weightiness of God's glory, how heavy the glory of God is. And it also means the splendor or the fullness of the riches of God's glory that will rise upon his people. And it also translates the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has overcome the world, who has defeated the kingdom of Satan, who has defeated death itself, and has been risen from the dead by the power of God, and is now seated at the right hand of his Father in heaven. And the 24 elders cast their crowns to the ground. Heaven bows before his face. And now that same honor that Jesus received in the heaven above, that honor is coming down with the Lord. He's coming with the full weight of his kingdom. He's coming with the fullness of the riches of his glory. And he's coming to demonstrate the honor that Jesus Christ is due. And Amen. This glory is coming upon his remnant.
Yes.
Okay, that part is like, really? Yeah, really. Well, no wonder we had to go through the fire. No wonder we had to suffer the loss of all things. You can't bear the glory of God while you're still holding on to the secret things of Babylon. You can't walk in the honor of Jesus Christ if you still have a part of your life that's being dishonored by secret sin. God doesn't mix his glory with the things of the flesh. This is reserved for those who've come fully out of Babylon and for those in whom the spirit of Babylon has been cast fully out of their lives. And so this glory is going to come. Isaiah 60, verse 2, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the minds of the people. But the Lord will arise upon his remnant. His glory shall be seen upon you. And that word for arise in this scripture is zarach. And it literally means to irradiate, to shoot forth beams of light like the sunrise. It literally means that the brightness of the rising of the sun to appear with radiant light as bright as the sun as it rises above the horizon. And you guys know what it's like in the early morning, the very first dawn's light before the sun crosses the horizon. You could be looking at the distant horizon as the light's growing and growing and growing. But as soon as that sunrise comes above the horizon, it's blinding in its brightness. No man can even behold. You can't even look at the sun. It's so bright. Well, the glory of the Lord is like, well, the scripture says it's seven times brighter. I think that's more metaphor. It's probably 70,000 times brighter. I remember I was given a vision once and I saw the heavens roll up like a scroll and I saw the glory of the Lord come down. And it was like these huge columns, like you would see in some big, you know, building, you know, these massive columns. They were like 10 feet wide, but they were made of light, not stone. And they were so bright, you could not see through them. And this glory just came down upon the earth and it was immense. This glory is going to arise. It's going to irradiate the faces of God's remnant. And, you know, that really leads me to Micah 7, verse 16. The nations will see, and it, literally it's a reference to this glory. The nations shall see the glory of God and be confounded in all their might. They will lay their hands upon their mouth. Their ears will be deaf. And that word for confounded in Hebrew is bush. And it means your face becomes pale. Their face will literally drain of blood. It means to become ashamed. The nations will be covered in shame. It means to be disappointed. They're going to realize they were on the losing side. All of their power is meaningless. It means to be put to shame and to be filled with confusion and to become dry. It's simply awesome. Micah 7, 17. The nation shall lick the dust like a serpent. They're going to be on the ground. They're literally going to be on the ground. They shall move out of the holes. You know, that all these satanic elite, they're going to be in their little underground cities, you know, thinking that they're going to rule the world after this war has ended. They're going to come out of their holes like worms. And they shall be afraid of the Lord our God, and they shall fear because of you. And that word for worms, the elite, all these stupid satanic people that think they're going to inherit the earth, and they're going to instead go to hell with Satan. Unto them is the eternal darkness reserved. They're going to come out of their holes in the ground like worms. And the word in Hebrew is zachal, and it literally means to crawl. Because of fear, they're going to be crawling like a serpent on the ground. And it means to be afraid, to be filled with terrifying fear, and to become as a serpent or a worm. You know, isn't that fitting that these elite that thought they will rule the earth, instead they'll be crawling on the ground like a worm. So terrified. Amen. They can't even stand Hallelujah. In the presence of the glory of God. Not only will they be afraid of the Lord, they shall fear because of you. That word for afraid of the Lord, the word for afraid is pakad. It means to be startled by a sudden alarm, just boom. When the glory of God hits this earth, they will be suddenly afraid. It means to stand in awe, to become terrified, to shake in fear. They will be trembling in fear, so great the fear upon them, they will not be able to stand. Instead, they will be crawling on the earth. Because see, the Lord has come to tread upon the earth. Jesus Christ will be walking on the earth. His enemies will be crawling like worms before him. And the worm will not die in the fire where it's going. And then the scripture says, and they shall fear because of you. That word for fear at the end of Micah 7, verse 17, is yare, and it means to be dreadfully afraid. To be in reverential fear. To see terrible acts, to witness terrible things that terrify you. Why will the nations be afraid? Because they're going to be watching the judgment meted out. And the Gentiles will come to the light. I'm back in Isaiah 60 now, verse 3. The Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. The remnant that's going to literally be covered with the glory of God, the very light of the presence of God, is going to come forth upon them and come forth out of them. They're going to be glowing, literally, like Moses when he came out of the tent of the meeting. And the nations, they will see the light on the remnant. And kings will recognize the brightness that these are the people of God. This is the holy people that we read about in the book. Lift up your eyes round about and see. All of them are going to gather themselves together. They will come unto you with your sons from afar, and your daughters shall be nursing at their side. Then you will see and flow together. The remnant will be in unity of the Spirit, and thy heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. And the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance upon my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. That's the living temple of which we who are in the remnant are but the living stones. The Lord is going to bring his glory into this third living temple that comprises initially his anointed remnant, and in the kingdom that has come, all of the ecclesia, all of the saints of the Lord. And so I just want to finish with Psalm 149. You know, some people would say, you know, what do you mean, Benjamin, why would the nations be afraid of the remnant? Well, let me give you the reason why. In Psalm 149, we read, praise the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song. That's the 144,000 who sing a new song that no man can sing. Let his praise be in the congregation of the righteous. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him, and let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise him, praise his name in the dance, sing praises unto him with the timbrel and the harp, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. The Lord loves his little remnant, same way we love our little children. He takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with his salvation. Let the saints be joyful in their glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people. That word for vengeance is nachama. It means to avenge in the passion of anger, to bring revenge and vengeance, and to bind the kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. You know, these royals who thought themselves that they would always be the kings of the earth, and all their nobles, all of this secular satanic elite, thought they would rule forever. Nope, they're going to be bound up in chains. Their nobles will be bound in fetters of iron. And then the remnant, the anointed remnant, will execute upon them the judgment that is written. And this honor have all of his sanctified ones. Praise you, the Lord. And that word for judgment in that verse is mishpat. It means a verdict that is pronounced judicially to basically issue the sentence or a formal decree under divine law to declare the penalty and to bring justice, to dispose of the case before the court of heaven, to act in the judgment in a full, lawful manner, and to carry out the sentence, what is due for the crimes before the throne of heaven. This honor have all of his anointed ones. You see, one of the reasons Satan hates the remnant so much is the Lord's going to turn the judgment over to his people. Now, I know some would say, well, wait a minute, Benjamin. Jesus said, judge not. Well, that actually meant condemn not. And that was for us on a social level to not condemn our neighbor or our brother for their shortcomings and or their sins or insensitivities or offenses against us. This is the judgment of the kingdom that is being delegated by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord himself came with the authority of his Father. And then the Lord told us, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. We are being sent with the authority of the Lord, which he received from his Father. And so the remnant shall execute judgment of God during these final years. And then the Lord will come in the clouds. And on the last day, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we that are yet alive, we will be caught up with the Lord to meet the Lord in the clouds. And, you know, it's very clear. I know some people think that the church is going to disappear in this pre-trib rapture concept. But, you know, it's very clear. Jesus himself said, I will raise them up on the last day. Mm-hmm. And he talked about raising the dead in Christ, that he would raise them literally on the last day. And, you know, the dead in Christ are raised first. They do not. The rapture doesn't precede the resurrection of the dead. And so the resurrection itself is on the last day, even as Jesus himself said in Matthew 24, in verses 29 to 31, after the tribulation of those days. The world's not over, folks. The tribulation time just ended. The angel shall come with the sound of a great trumpet, the last trumpet. And they will gather together the elect from the four corners of the earth. That's the rapture. And we will meet the Lord in the clouds on the way to Jerusalem. And the Lord will take back the kingdom. And I hope I see you there. What was it we used to say when we were young? Here, there, or in the air. I'll catch up with you guys later. So God bless you. Thanks for listening. I hope that was encouraging. And if it brought you conviction, amen. Brother, repent.
Amen.
You know, don't praise be offended. God. I'm not here to offend you. I'm here to save you. I'm here to prick your conscience. If that word pricks you, then you should thank God that he's working conviction in your life, and you should pray it through and repent. And it, look, if you need to make restitution, make it.
Amen.
You know, if you've lied about someone, go tell the truth. If you've stolen goods, return them.
Mm.
You've broken the law, make it right. If you've offended someone, apologize.
Yeah.
Ask their forgiveness. Amen. Restore these relations that are broke. You know, the scripture says, if you see a brother in a fault, you that are spiritual, go and restore such a one. Not this generation. No, this generation slanders such a one, breaks fellowship with such a one. And as a result, Satan's been able to divide the flock. This is not the spirit of God. It's the spirit of division. We need to repent of this nonsense. We need to start acting like the children of God that we are. Stop being deceived by these lying spirits that walk among us.
Yeah. Amen.
And follow the truth. Amen.
Praise God. Well, thank you. And folks, if they choose not to forgive you, then that they heap the coals on their own heads. Your conscience is clean. You know, it's okay. There's God's, as you know, restore, ask for forgiveness, but that doesn't mean you'll get it always back. That's okay. You know, like Benjamin was saying earlier, sometimes we go to the Lord with a gift just to say thank you without anything expected in return. Sometimes we say we're sorry. Doesn't always mean the person will forgive or forgive right away, but we did what the Lord said, and it frees us. It's something that happens when you go to that hard situation that just releases so much bitterness and things that are just destroying our lives. So, brother, thank you for this good counsel at the end of this show and throughout there, brother. We really appreciate it. Benjamin, I know I'm hoping to get you back on here soon. We've got some a lot of events coming very soon to a sky near you and me.
Yeah, we
and,
do.
And besides that, we have our own government making some very disturbing moves against Israel. And brother, it's some shaky ground moving forward.
Well, maybe we should record on Monday the 8th, you know, the night of the eclipse, which is actually the evening of the 8th is the beginning of the first day of Nisan. It's the first day of the 70th Jubilee. That might be a good night for a program, Frank.
Absolutely. Praise God. Yes, absolutely. So, folks, keep us in prayer, and God bless you. Check out Brother Benjamin's program on the Coast to Coast, also on the German interview he did at sometime in the middle of the night, our time, sometime, I guess, in the day, their time. But I'm sure it'll be a blessing, especially if you don't know anything about Benjamin, one thing you will find out, he knows a lot about history. And so if that's a program that spent a lot of time on that, you're going to enjoy it. Finding out and knowing the history of how these things got started, folks, opens up a lot of doors to understanding of why things are the way they are today. And so, brother, bless you. Thank you so much for coming on. Folks, continue to keep seeking the Lord. And like Brother Benjamin said, if there's something in their life, just go say you're sorry. I had it not too long ago. Make some peace in front of a bunch of people. And I didn't have to. I could have just sat there on my pride because I said, you know what? I'm right. I didn't have to. I don't have to say anything. But you know what? I stood up and said, you know what? I'm sorry if I've offended you. And you know, I could have just been in pride and said no, but I knew that if the only way we were going to get to peace, the only way I was going to solve this problem is if I was to get up and tell everybody I was sorry, regardless of whether I thought it was right or I needed to do the right thing. And you know what? The Lord blessed and we've restored relationships and been healed. It was a wonderful thing. And so praise God for it. Bless everybody. This is Brother Benjamin and Brother Frank on the Remnant Call saying to everyone, good night and shalom.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountains. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come. Blow a trumpet in Zion.